all over the nation be able, I mean, how can a group of people like that live together and expect to survive and make any kind of impact at all on 12 acres? You know, it's just tremendous.
Well, that's why the other question was sort of leading to this, that I didn't feel that these particular people of Mission Street type were sincere. And they were just there, and you just said it a minute ago, because it's a thing.
Whether they're sincere or not, the fact that they're there helping,
yeah, but are
when
they
manpower
helping?
Support is needed, they're there. They're identifying with it. Before this movement, they were in the eyes of a lot of people, they were nowhere. In the eyes of a lot of people, they're still nowhere. But every person out there really means something, you know, whether it be just through riffraff or not, but they're an individual and they're, you know, they're one of the numbers that help.
Well, like, you're having trouble getting boats and captains to go back and forth, right? Now, while we were down there, they had gotten a new boat, a new captain. He'd been paid, and there was a drunk Indian down there, an older man. And he was arguing with the captain. And he said, well, I'm part of the council, and I didn't authorize that you do this. And he was really hard-assing this captain. And the captain was getting mad, and he says, well, for God's sakes, if you don't shut up and quit bugging me, I'm not going to run any Indian anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, and is this kind of thing helping you? Mm-hmm. Or even possibly the guy wasn't even part of the group. He's just somebody that happened along. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. But despite the Indians being drunk and trying to do something, we've got to help them. I mean, think positively, every way you can. Try to relate, whether they're drunk or not. Help them.
No,
for a while, some people have tried to put the drunk Indians off. And it really pissed me off. It really did, because this is just one of the things. This is one of the reasons of the movement.
I was thinking about that scene all day long, and in a sense, it seemed like, you know, that captain is. Maybe you should have an Indian boat captain, because it seemed like that guy didn't really care.
For them.
He was just trying to earn his living.
Dig it. Yeah, I dig it.
Well, I'm supposed to take that three times a day, and that's all I know.
Uh-huh.
Beyond that, it was like.
Right, for the, okay, up until maybe a month ago, we had our own boat. We had a boat large enough to carry 40 people. The boat was owned by an Indian man. But again, we had the problem of a lot of riffraffery. But that riffraffery, it goes back to the Mission Street. I mean, why are the Indians there in the first place? I mean, why did they get into that position?
Well, why did anybody? Why? Whatever.
Their drunkenness.
They're okay.
Sure. I mean, that's an escape for them.
My wife was hiding.
It's just a cry for recognition right there.
I don't know if I can buy that. They're oppressed.
I don't think Ronald Reagan can buy that either. Or President Nixon.
Well, what was that you were saying, Ron, about the Indian image?
Well, the Indian image has always been this downtrodden, drunken, you know, just like this thing we've been talking about. And there's a lot of people, a lot of sincere people that are helping. They're ignorant of Indians, you know, they're ignorant, they've always lived their lives in a certain city, like say San Francisco, you know, and they've always gone to work from 8 to 5, you know, always bucked the rush hour traffic, always take their three-week paid vacation during the summer. This type of people, I think, are the type that call them the silent majority. They're the ones that rule this great country of ours, supposedly. You know, this is cool. And this is the image they've always had of the Indians, you know. And what really ticks me off is, you see this there, like we saw it this morning on a pier, you know. And this is just, I think, just kind of taking a step backwards rather than, you know, your good intention of trying to go forward. You're actually regressing in some way, you know? And this is what really sort of turned me off, because there's a lot of sincere Indians, a lot of Indians that really need this recognition, they really need all this help. And they're the ones, they're the segment that's been neglected, you know, and this other segment here is always, at this point, they're taking advantage of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
This is what
bothers me. Right. Well, I understand that. See, it doesn't have to be part of it, but it is a part of it, and we have to accept that, and we just have to deal with it some way. Like reassuring these cats that they don't have to booze, that they no longer have to depend on alcohol to escape the problems or escape the feeling of being inadequate. I mean, we just have to reassure one another that's not where it's at anymore. I think if we think more in positive terms all the time, helping the guy who's on the pier, maybe drunk, just say, hey, John, you know, I really don't think you should be drunk and working on the boat, you know. We have rules within the organization that if anybody is boozing on the boat or boozing on the island, they have to split, because there's no time for that.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, as a part of a movement.
There could be some
regulation. Oh, yeah, we have this, we have security who controls things like that. A lot of these guys, if they just get a few cents in their pocket, will go out and buy a bottle of wine, you know. And it's a sad thing. We just have to say, you know, just talk with them, whether they're drunk or on a sober mind, and just continually reassure these people that the alcohol will not help. I've seen many, many drunk Indians on the pier, and I felt very bad. Just the other day, I witnessed one of the guys, a 30-year-old Sioux, who was his birthday, he was celebrating, went in to buy a pack of cigarettes at Costanola's, one of the large exclusive restaurants on the wharf. I was standing right outside the door. The guy went in. The hostess came and said, "I'm sorry you can't come in here. You're not dressed properly. You don't look like you should be a person to be in here." The guy was a little drunk. He got pissed. He said, "Well, let me make a phone call," and mentioned something about discriminating against Indians. And the hostess made some remark about not being properly dressed. So he managed to make a phone call. They called the manager. I don't know what kind of talk they had. The guy called the police department to report he's being discriminated against. The guy hung up on him. He called 9 times every time the police department hung up on him. And then again, the whole SF police department is again influenced by Alioto. Alioto is probably the most wealthiest man in the Bay Area.
He just fired the chief of police.
Tom Cahill.
Said that he was retired.
But,
what was this restaurant?
Costanola's. It's right in front of Scoma's, you know, right? It's a large... I'll take you down to the pier sometime, John.
Oh, I'd like to really do a dress-up number and go in there.
You know, no, really. I mean, these people are just going to have to accept the fact that whether a person is dressed or not, you know, wants something, and they're the service people, customers. I don't think they should be so hung up in establishment kinds of roles where a person has to wear a tie and a white shirt, walk into the into a place, and I just don't think that's...
We got discriminated against on Mission Street last night.
Seventh Street.
Well, it was Seventh on Mission Street.
Yeah. Right next to the hotel. We went to go get one drink before going up. Joe Bill was with us. We walked in the hotel. And she said, oh, a bunch of stone heads, just ruining me. Same place as me, so I guess it's kind of hard to realize that the situation here is so, in a sense, really different than it is back there. And like, the people here have to deal with it on the terms that are being offered here.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a lot more freer here. Mm-hmm. At least I can go out to the street and sell Warpath. Mm-hmm. You know. Without fearing that my family would be fired from their jobs if I were to do it on the Navajo Reservation. I mean, it's happened before to me. My brothers and sisters couldn't get hired because of my attitudes. I mean, I'm blacklisted on the BIA, you know. That doesn't bother me because I just don't want to have anything to do with those kinds of people. It's a waste of my time and energy. I guess that's really why I left, because it was really frustration for me to try to work on a newspaper in Tuba City.
Where are you from?
Kayenta. But now, just the whole Bay Area atmosphere, especially the Berkeley atmosphere, where there are so many other people that feel like I do. Most of the students here are frustrated by our society, you know, and the way it's going. And we all we all share this. We all help one another. I think the largest support, the bulk of the support we've gotten for the movement has been from the HAP people from around the Bay Area.
Yeah, I would suspect so, looking at the mailing list today, mostly Bay Area.
And the Bay Area is known to be quite free. I mean, it's a continual fight every way. The whole building here is on strike. $160 for this one-bedroom apartment. We have to change light bulbs every other day because defective wiring. The landlord who owns another apartment building, in addition to this one, had a defective gas heater. A guy died of asphyxiation. Now we have a suit filed against him. I mean, it just has to be a cooperative effort, you know, on everybody who feels like we do.
So all you guys in this whole building are striking?
Oh. Putting the money in the bank instead of to the landlord until we get this place fixed up. This place has been painted once before since we moved in. It has to be painted again.